Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
About that time, it's Saturday morning or afternoon, depending on where you are, and you're listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics here on Blog Talk Radio, hosted by me. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, and I do what I do because I do it for you, and I'm co-hosted by the ATM. He's dribbling, dribbling money. His trade deals are always funny. Jerry Taylor.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Hey, now, you're going to call into the show and try to play your little trade deal like, hey, the trade went through, man.
Well, it did. I was just as surprised as you were. I know you were hating on it, but that's okay. There were more people not hating on it than other people that were just saying let it go through.
I said plotting, not hating. I don't hate. I plot.
Okay. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a great show in store for you. If you missed yesterday's show of No Chaser, we had David Aldridge on with Lonnie Perrell and Matt Williams and I. We held it down. We had a lot of great calls and great conversations. Check it out in the archives, as well as listening to us on iTunes. Hopefully, we'll have a major account with iTunes. And
really?
Well, I submitted our podcast, and hopefully they will advertise it. We'll see what happens.
Really?
Yeah. See, I'm doing things, man. Through your wheeling and dealing, your sideways trade, wheeling and dealing, I'm doing real deals. Hold that bill. Stop
hey,
biting my ear off my pipe.
My trades are fair of value for fair. What can I tell you? I put them out there. You've accepted a few of them, and you've taken me, supposedly, in your opinion, you've taken me to the cleaners. Into the cleaners.
I'm just
telling you the truth, that you actually think or thought or thinking every time we make a trade, and I have to tell you that a lot of them are, the majority of them are slanted your way, and we both acknowledge that. But there's a method to my madness, and it's always, for the most part, panned out in favor of moi, not you. So even though you think you're getting the best of it, I have a master plan.
Well, I'm making the playoffs. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen,
you ain't making the playoffs.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Would you like to put a wager on that, Mr. Vic? Would you like to?
Well, we know you don't pay off your wages, but
you,
it's okay.
You're full of it. You full. Don't even go there. Don't even go there.
Can I finish saying what I was going
to
say?
No, hell no. I'm trying to stop you from doing that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a great show in store for you. Let me give you the phone number real quick. The number is 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. We also have our chat room wide open and ready for you to jump on if you want to post a question or type some messages, then we'll try to get you on the air. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/VIPHBK, you can jump in on that. On today's episode, we will break down the NFC East and North as we continue to help you prepare for your fantasy season, the upcoming NFL's ups and downs. Okay? We'll also cover the Open Championships. I don't know why they changed it from the British Open to just the Open Championships, but we're going to cover that. And look at the resurgence of Tiger Woods. If we have some time, we'll listen to some interviews that Black, a.k.a., well, Mike Wright, a.k.a. Black, the bookie, did with the women and men's Olympic team, basketball team. He conducted those last Saturday. If we get to that, hopefully we do. what's going to hear from John Elway in reference to Peyton Manning. So let's just jump right into it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like basketball. We all like basketball. David Aldridge was on the show yesterday. We talked about some things. His passion is not being an analyst. His passion is writing. Well, Chris Broussard, he's in the same mode, but he's talking about Dwight Howard not being traded anytime soon whatsoever. Let's listen to Chris Broussard.
They realize, while they don't necessarily want to go into the season next year with Dwight Howard, that they really don't have to trade him until the February trade deadline. So they're going to wait until they get a deal that they really, really like. And if they don't get that deal, then they'll continue to be patient.
So, according to Chris Broussard, the Orlando Magic are going to be played a little smarter now. They're not going to give him up right away. They're going to give him up towards the trade deadline in February. But what's the problem with Dwight Howard not wanting to sign in L.A.? I get it. You don't want to follow Shaquille O'Neal's footsteps. You don't want to be labeled the next Shaquille because, yeah, you get drafted to Orlando. Then you get traded to the Lakers. And then you're supposed to be the dominant force. And you're forever going to be linked to Shaquille O'Neal. I got that. But let's put that aside. If he wants to win championships, he can probably get to the championship game this year if you were with Paul Gasol, Steve Nash, and Kobe Bryant. But he might get dealt to a team that will have him for like a half a year and then try to sign with the Nets, but they can't because they don't have enough money because they gave Brooke Lopez and a couple other guys max contracts. So what's going on in the mind of Dwight Howard and his representative, Jerry?
You know, every time we talk about Dwight Howard, the hair stands up on the back of my neck because this person, I have a hard time calling him a man because the fact is he's
wow.
Like, come on, man. He changes his mind like people change their underwear every day. Not, in fact, some people change their underwear more than once a day. So, and that's how often he changes his mind. I don't blame the Orlando Magic for doing what they're doing. If they can't get a good deal because he's made it known that he wants out of there, so quite naturally everybody's going to try to discount any offer for the Orlando Magic, I don't blame him. Dwight, we're going to try to get the best deal. If we don't, we're going to play you for the year. And if you don't like it, too bad. You're property of us until the end of your contract. You have to honor your contract. And if we don't get a good deal, then it is what it is. But we're not going to be held hostage from any team wanting to get a discount deal because you want out of Orlando. I don't blame him. I mean, he's going to be a headache. He's going to be a headache, Vic, regardless of where he goes. If he goes to L.A., if he goes even to the Brooklyn Nets, like if he gets his wish, he could change next week and says, I don't want to go to Brooklyn. I want to go to some other team. Because that's how often he's changed his mind within the last few months or last months or year or whatever. So he can be careful of what you wish for. The grass is always not that much greener on the other side. He gets to L.A., he gets to one of these other teams, and he realizes, you know what, I really don't like it here, the city I don't like, the people, the atmosphere I don't like, but he's pretty much going to be locked into a contract when he gets there. So he's the type of person that's never going to be happy. Trust me. You're never going to be happy and always bitching somewhere.
I gotcha. I understand that. But the power struggle, and Black's in the chat room, by the way. The power struggle is between the player an organization. I understand that. But you say Dwight Howard is never going to be happy. He's a problem child. Got it. I got it. But if you have the ability to pick and choose where you want to go and where you want to play, as opposed to being sold or traded somewhere, wouldn't you put up a little fight on that? I mean, that's just me. I would want that option. I mean, that's what Darren Williams did, even though he opted out of his contract in Brooklyn. He still went back there, but he wanted to see what he could get and get more value. I just think Dwight Howard is making a better business move. He's going about it the wrong way, in my opinion, but he's making a better business move. Black says, Dwight Howard is a selfish bastard who doesn't respect the franchises. The franchise, and needs to be traded to the Chinese Basketball Association for the year that he is trying to get out of. Wow.
Yeah, I don't blame him. You know, because the fact is, I understand he says right, but he's jerked around the organization for the last year. He's got the head coach. He was the cause of getting the head coach and the GM fired because his lack of play or lack of no lack of play last year for one, and his disruption and distraction that helped that pretty much demoralized the team because of his wishy-washy ways. Like one day he would say, "I want out of here." Next day, I'm ready. He opted into his contract. He opted into his option or whatever, and all he did was cause a turmoil for the last season. When it wasn't necessary, he's the only one I've seen like that. I can't recall a player that's jerked around a organization so much as he has. I mean, even though LeBron made his decision on the airwaves, he never jerked around the organization, his organization, the Cleveland Cavaliers, like Dwight Howard has. So, and This is unprecedented. I understand that he wants to go. He has a prerogative because he's soon to be a free agent, and he's a big-name player, and he says, I don't want to play for you guys anymore. But in the times he said, I don't want to play, he says, I want to play. I want to play for you. I don't want to play. I want to play for you. I want to play. Supposedly goes to the owner and says, I can't play for this coach. Supposedly says a lot of things detrimental to the organization and to the coaching staff. And then says, no, I didn't say that. So, come on. I mean, after a while, it gets ridiculous.
It does. And this is what Black had to say. I want to close it on this. Black says, mm-hmm. Dwight Howard came into the league hoping to become the NBA logo. And I think that's a valid point, that a lot of players come to the league wanting just to make it to the NBA. Then you have those players that come to the NBA and want to be superstars. Then you have those players that want to come to the NBA and be a Hall of Famers. Then you have those that want to win championships as well as be Hall of Famers. And I think that that's one of the things that Dwight had in mind, but he wanted to be the face of the NBA, and I agree with Black on that. He says, this is worse than the decision. This is dragging on for weeks now.
Exactly.
And, you know,
that's my point.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right. You both are right, and I agree. But at the same time, I think he has the right to do what he's doing. I just don't like the way he's doing it. That's just my point here.
Shut your damn mouth. Plain and simple. Shut your damn mouth.
Finish the contract. Don't sign with him. Resign with him or whatever. And just be a free agent. They can't slap you. It's not like the NFL where they can slap you with a franchise tag. They can't do that. So, Dwight, unfortunately, FSP and the Master have to give you this. This comes from Black, the bookie.
Ooh.
Sorry, man.
What was that for?
For him being, you know, a childlike superstar.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he straight out of high school. He hasn't stopped his high school ways.
Yeah, well, give people money, can't change them all the time, but sometimes it changes them. Now let's move on to the Lynx over in Europe right now. We're talking about the Open. They dropped the British part, but it's now called the Open, where Tiger Woods is tied for fifth with 3 under, and the leader is an American stock holder or something like that. Sorry, didn't get his name fully. with 10 under. And they're heading into today's matches and Sunday. Sunday's the day. We'll see what happens. Here's a breakdown of the British Open from Tom Rivers on what's going on.
With the major golf update, I'm Tom Rivers in London. The first drop shots of the tournament for Brant Snedeker. Bogeys on the 5th and 6th puts him at 8 under, now one shot behind the new leader, Adam Scott, who's serving up level par play. At 5 under, two great names, Tiger Woods and Ernie Els. At 4 under, Zach Johnson and Graham McDowell. The great weather's keeping the scores low at Lytham St. Anne's. Tom Rivers, ABC Sports.
All right.
Hi, I'm
Tom Rivers, ABC Sports. I misquoted or I misstated that Tiger was 3 under. He was 3 under when I went to sleep, and now he's 4 under. And Adam Scott is leading the whole group. Now, a lot of folks are saying that Tiger's poised to win the Masters, this Masters event, and but he's too inconsistent. Now, I know you and Black have thoughts on Tiger and what he's doing and how he's doing it. Do you think that he's in a position to actually come out and win, or is his mindset, let me put it that way, his mindset and his game to the point where he can win this tournament?
His mindset and game is in the right spot, that way he can win this tournament, yes. And I'm being funny here, but I think he's getting his freak on. That's why he's in the mindset, and he's locked in, because he seems like he's relaxed. He's got a lot of confidence, and he's his big thing is he's putting very well. So I think he's got a real good shot to make a strong finish for the Open.
All right, tired old man.
Yeah, what can I tell you, man?
Got some Cialis or something going on over there?
What's that got to be doing with being tired?
Come on for you.
God. You know, whatever. Whatever. Whatever.
So, oh, my God, I can't repeat what Black just put up. Pretty much he said what you said, just hood like. Oh, my God. He says Tiger needs more women. He didn't use the term women.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I personally think Tiger Woods is poised to get into this. I don't think he's going to win, though. I don't think he's going to win. I think he's going to come up just short Sunday. He's going to give a good charge at the end. But I think he's going to fall in second or third place. And I'm noticing a trend. Like, when the weather conditions aren't that good, Tiger does well. Now, the weather conditions aren't that good over there right now. And, you know, he's in the top five in the leaderboard right now. But when the weather's really good, Tiger doesn't seem to fare well. Or recently, he hasn't fared well. So I'm not saying it's a given, but I don't know. To me, it seems like a little trend that that's what it is. Yeah, I don't know what you think about that.
I don't. I stated before that he's going to be inconsistent. I don't know if it coincides with the weather. I haven't thought about that. But he's just he's going to have his high highs and he's going to have his low lows. So right now he's on his high. So. He's doing well.
Yeah. Well, good luck to everybody over there at the Open Championship. Whether it's Tiger or not who wins, I'm hoping an American wins, because that's what American wins. That's just me.
Were we keeping you up, man? Yeah, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, see, be careful.
Come back to me.
Wait a minute. Be careful. I always say, be careful how you treat people. So remember that. See, remember that. You always never burn a bridge. You may have to walk back over it.
Whatever. I don't burn your bridges. I just punch the ATM numbers. You spit out cash.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's transition into my sport. Oh, make sure I didn't leave out any other sound bites. I do want to get to these basketball things. Did you guys get a chance to air them last week or on Sunday?
Yes. I got a chance to air them on Sunday, yes.
All right. So what I'll do then, because like I said, I got to go see The Dark Knight. Well, not The Dark Knight. You know what I mean. The Batman movie. I ain't trying to get shot.
Dark Knight. That's what it is. Dark Knight. Dark Knight Rising, whatever it is.
Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said I was insensitive with that joke, so I got to take that joke back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. Jesus, yeah. I don't know about you, man. I tell you. I wonder about
my young man. My prayers go out to those that got dealt with that senseless tragedy. And no, I don't need 4-hour Cialis. Black. That joke was for Jerry. Let's move on to football, since we're about to get into the NFC East and NFC North. Let's hear about John Elway and what he thinks about Peyton Manning and what he might be able to do this upcoming season.
The one question that was asked to a doctor, would you let your son play with if he had the same thing that I had with my neck? And he said, absolutely. So, to me, when I listen to the doctor say that, then I'm 100% sure that physically he's going to be fine.
So physically, John Elway has no scare about Peyton taking a bad hit and just ending up on the bad side of an injury, and thus ending the hopes of the Denver Broncos. Tell me, what do you feel about it? I mean, I've had a very serious neck injury, and I went through a more aggressive surgery than Pete. But with the wrong hit, Pete might have to go through the same surgery I went through. So talk to me. How do you feel about, you know, that situation?
You know, if there's one thing that I do know, it's that Peyton Manning never took a solid hit from someone. I've seen him all at times when there was a chance of him getting a solid hit from a lineman or even a linebacker, that he would go down rather than take that hit and a chance of getting hurt. So I have to think that because of circumstances, especially with his neck, that he's going to be more inclined to be extra careful in the pocket when there's a possible chance of someone getting a solid hit on him, that he'll just absolutely just go down versus getting that solid hit. Risk more injury or another serious injury that may hinder him from playing out the rest of the year for the Broncos. So.
Well, I think, and Black's going to call in too in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think Peyton, and this is just from me and my experience and how frightening it was for me. You know, and I had no idea I had this injury until this little incident took place. You know, but going unconscious.
You really didn't know have any inclination that you had problems in your neck area,
no.
Right? You never had any issues that
I mean,
made it felt strange?
A stiff neck from time to time, you know, sleeping wrong,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, getting a little stinger, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that is it. Nothing else, literally nothing else. But Peyton is aware of the situation. He's aware of his body. He plays a very violent sport at a very high level. The offensive line supposedly is a little better than that of Indianapolis. But Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos, I want you to be very clear on this, and I hope somebody's listening. I was a quadriplegic for 1 hour. Quadriplegic.
Really?
Okay?
Really?
Yes. Remember I told you about the situation?
Yeah.
I was a quadriplegic for 1 hour. It wasn't fun. It wasn't, I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody. It wasn't something that I felt I would want anybody to go through. Anybody. But again, it's something that you might face playing professional football on this high level. Think about that before you go out here and risk becoming a permanent quadriplegic. Offensive line, double tight end formations. These are the things that Denver needs to do to protect him. They need a strong running game so that Peyton doesn't have to sit back there and take hits. You already know folks are going to try to knock him out of the game. You already know that. They're not going to go for the legs, because if they go for the legs, it's a personal foul. They can't go to the head because it's hit hands to the face. But if that torso gets smacked around and he gets slammed to the ground, he can become a quadriplegic. And the doctor said, I shouldn't have recovered. And I damn sure shouldn't have recovered as quickly as I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because of the bone. Apparently it was that way for so long that the bone
No,
started.
No. You don't know what my question is. My question was, why do you think you did recover?
God, man.
Okay.
God, because my job isn't done doing whatever it is that God wanted me to do.
Well, then you should be definitely in the going to church every day. That's for sure.
Well, we are gonna. My wife found a church actually, so I think we're gonna go to church tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But we just got out of here, but
mm-hmm.
I'm very thankful for
mm-hmm.
everything. But all I'm saying is Peyton Manning and the Denver Bronco brass, I don't care what the doctor said. You need to protect this guy at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Protect him. Even if you got to get a penalty protecting him.
Well, I fully agree with you. I fully agree with you. He's the, besides being, he's a franchise, he's a quarterback. What his situation is. You got to do whatever it takes to make sure that he's upright and has the full use of all four extremities. So
yeah, Willis McGahee had the best year of his career last year. He's going to have to do a lot more this year as well. A lot more this year to help take some pressure off of Peyton. But I want to get off that high horse. I see that Black had he's forwarded me the Oakland Raiders and 49ers press credentials kit, which I'm going to dive into. And get some stuff. Actually, I'll be working with them for my day job, hopefully, in the near future, but we'll see.
Really?
Black sent me some information. I'm going to dive into that later on in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But because of my job, I'm trying to work that angle as well already. But this will help for us. If you guys fly out here, I can get you guys credentialed. And I want to work on getting you guys credentialed for the NFL draft, because I know you and Jeff are right there.
Right there,
Black
man.
And if Black can make a trip up to New York, all three of you guys can go up there and get press stuff. So I know he's on the line listening. We need to work on that and get that done, because I want you guys there since I can't be there.
Mm-hmm.
But since we're talking about the NFL and we're getting into so many wonderful things about the NFL, it's time to break down the NFC East. You thought I was going to save them for last. Nope, doing them first. Here we go.
Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to break down one of the best, well, in my opinion, the two best divisions in the National Football League, the NFC East and the NFC North. I really wanted to start off with the NFC North, but I changed my mind because I want to give some real time to the NFC East because Black's team's there, Jeff's team's there, my team is there. And Jerry's like the mediator, but he's a New York, New Jersey guy, so he can talk about the Giants as well. We're going to start off with Black's team. We're going to start off with the Dallas Troublesome Cowboys. There's Bryant. Okay, remember, I'm reading from the Sports Illustrated Fantasy Football 2012 edition, where opposing coaches gave their thought process on these teams. So coaches from the NFC East talked about the various teams in that division. And these are their words quoted in this edition, okay? Enemy lines, what a rival coach says. Dallas Cowboys. People don't realize that the passing offense revolves around Jason Witten. He's the guy who gets Tony Romo going. Witten will catch 80 balls. You can put that in the bank. Romo sometimes has big numbers because the Cowboys have a vertical passing game. When defenses force him to be an intermediate dink-and-dunk quarterback, he struggles. Miles Austin has had only one big year in Dallas, and that was the season he stayed healthy. All the other years, he has been hurt. You'll find out early what kind of season Austin will have. If he strings a few games together and stays healthy, he's capable of a year like 2009. Dez Bryant is talented, but is very limited in his route tree. He's going to run a go, a dig, or a stutter. He doesn't have the capacity to play multiple places, which is going to stunt his growth. They drafted Danny Cole to light a fire under Kevin Ogletree, who is talented but has some maturity issues. If Cole is any good, Ogletree may not stick around. Coaches will say, we have two starters at running back, but the guy who carried the mail is DeMarco Murray. When he took over as starter, the running game came to life, and he accomplished that by doing. He accomplished what he did without having a rookie's regular offseason. Felix Jones can catch the ball out of the backfield. That's where he'll get his touches. John Phillips is a heck of a blocker. He'll take over the role of Martellus Bennett. Whoopsie. So Martellus Bennett's already on the outs in Dallas, according to this. Sleeper. Now, I've never seen this. Take place as a sleeper, but SI has the Dallas Cowboys defense and special teams as a sleeper.
Well, wait a minute. Before you go any further, I just wanted to correct something. I don't know how old that book is, but Martellus Bennett is a member of the Giants.
Ooh. When did that happen?
Yes, Martellus Bennett is a member of the Giants. Absolutely. Because he was a free agent and he decided to sign with the Giants.
Wow, this actually was from June 28th. But when? Wow.
It may have come out in June 28th, but Martellus Bennett is a member of the Giants.
Good. Well, no, that's not good. Well, he's a bum anyway. And Black just put that up there, too, that he's a member of the Giants. But anyway, they say that the defense is the sleeper. I don't think so, but let's listen to what they have. Jerry Jones put the D back in Big D in the offseason, signing linebacker Dan Connor, defensive back Brandon Carr, and Rodney Poole. And drafting defenders, the team's first four picks, including corner Morris Claiborne. Now, here's where I agree, possibly, at being a bust. It has Dez Bryant as being the bust. He's uber talented, and expectations will be high for him in his third year. But as our coach above says, Bryant's route running is very limited. You're better off taking Miles Austin instead. Talk to me, Jerry.
Oh, boy. I hate to tell Black, but I'm not impressed with Dez Bryant. I think he's He's just overhyped. I think he may have a ton of talent, but his attitude and his worth ethic, in my opinion, are going to hold him back. This is a prove-it-to-me year for Dez Bryant, plain and simple. I do think the Dallas defense is going to be better than it was last year because they've addressed their issues they had in safeties and cornerback. The front seven was never the problem. It was the back four. So I think the defense is definitely going to be a lot better than it was. The question is whether the offense, you got a running back that's coming back from injury, and then you got a question on one of their wide receivers that they're counting on to be a wide receiver one, which I question, is Dez Bryant. So
I agree with you. I agree with you fully. And Black says, and this is this is known. Dez Bryant was a productive fantasy receiver last year, which he was. And he labels you the master hate. That's what he called
you. Because I'm not. You know, if you remember last year, I had a lot of good things to say about the Dallas Cowboys. So it's not like I'm hating on any particular team. I'm just calling it like I see it.
Well,
so.
You know, I don't hate them. I have a disdain for the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I understand why. I mean, you're a fan of the Redskins, so a division rival, and you just don't like the division rival. So I understand that. I don't have an allegiance on one team or another in this division, and I'm unbiased, and I'm just, like I said, calling it like I see it.
He's
a question mark.
Flip-flopping Romney. He calls you flip-flopping Romney. That's what he called
me. You wouldn't call me flip-flopping Romney, whatever. I'm calling it like I see it. Last year I had expectations of him being better than he was. This year, it's just a continuing trend of the way he's played on the field and off the field. And until he cleans his act up on both ends, on the field and off the field, then my opinion won't change.
I agree with you 110%. I think Dez Bryant is a very talented receiver, but he has mental retardation going on.
Oh, now you ain't got to go there.
I'm going to explain it.
Come on.
The mental retardation comes when it comes to the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
He does not mentally grasp what's going on, and because he does not do that, like the coach said, three routes is all he's going to run, and until he does that, he learns to do more than three rounds. He's never going to be the type of player that the Cowboys drafted him to be. And right now, looking at their schedule, I'm actually saying the Cowboys are going to win 5 or 6 games.
Oh, no, come stop.
I'm going to tell you why. But if he doesn't show up, I mean, it is going to be more the better, just like the book says, that you draft Miles Austin. Miles Austin and Jason Witten going to have a heck of a year.
Well,
but that's
you know,
not going to stop the Cowboys from losing.
You got to be a little unbiased when we do these things, because there is no way. Well, I know we're going to go down the schedule, but there is no way in all God's earth that they win five or six games. But
we'll go
through them, and then we'll debate them and go back and forth and get Black's hate mail towards you. But that's okay.
I know he is. But here we go. And he also calls you Judas Shuttlesworth.
Who, me?
Let's go. I just
got finished defending the Dallas Cowboys, and he called me Judas. Unbelievable.
Hey, it is what it is, guys. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Here we go. At the Giants, at Seattle, Tampa, Chicago, bye week, at Baltimore, at Carolina, Giants, at Atlanta, at Philly, Cleveland, Washington, Philly, at Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, at Washington. I'm telling you, they win by, at best, six games.
No.
And I'm going to break them down for you.
Go ahead.
They lose to the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Seattle. In an upset, they lose to Tampa.
No way. Go ahead.
They lose to Chicago.
Nope.
They lose to Baltimore. They lose to Carolina.
Nope.
They beat the Giants a second time.
Right.
They lose to Atlanta. They lose to Philly. They win at Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
They win home at Washington. They lose to Philly. Philly sweeps them. They beat Cincinnati. They lose to Pittsburgh. They lose to New Orleans. And they lose to Washington at Washington. That's what I got. And that's not being a Washington Redskins fan. That's not being a hater. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm looking at what they have and the issues they have. They're not going to... Okay, I said they beat Seattle. They beat New York once. They beat Cleveland. I said Philly sweeps them, right?
Yeah. That ain't happening.
And they beat Cincinnati. And they beat Washington one time. That's five wins. New Orleans beats them. Pittsburgh beats them. I think Philly's going to sweep them. Atlanta, I think, because it's at Atlanta, they beat up on them. It's a night game in Atlanta, Sunday night game, if I'm not mistaken, on the 4th.
Okay.
Carolina is going to surprise me. The two surprises are Tampa and Chicago. I mean, excuse me, Tampa and Carolina.
We'll see how close what you predict and what I predict, because I predict them losing at the Giants, winning against Seattle, winning in at home against Tampa, winning at home against Chicago, losing at Baltimore, winning at Carolina, winning at home against the Giants, winning at Atlanta, losing at Philly, winning Cleveland. I mean, winning at home with Cleveland, Washington, and Philly. They have three home games that they play. Cleveland, Washington, and Philly. I see them winning all three of those games. Going to Cincinnati, which is going to be a hard-fought game, but I think they can pull that out and win that. And then the last three games, I see them losing. And that equates to me to be a 10-6 season. I don't know how the heck you get with five or six games.
Dude, I'm telling you, by upsets, because of the two upsets.
They're six,
if they're not 5-11, at best, at very best, 7-9.
Oh, you know what?
If you give them those two games that you just said, I don't give them those games. The reason why I don't give them those
wow.
The reason why I don't give them those games
okay.
is because Tampa Bay is better than a lot of people giving them credit for. Tampa Bay is way better than what people are giving credit for. Greg Schiano is going to the running back's going to run all over them because they're going to smash them with Garrett Blunt and dash them with a kid out of Boise. And then you got Vincent Jackson. You got three or four talented wide receivers down there for Josh Freeman to throw to, plus Dallas Clark. So the secondary is going to get tested big time. And you know Martellus Bennett want to have a big game against his old team with the Giants. And Eli likes throwing to the tight end. All Martellus got to do is get open. I think Carolina is going to surprise in their second year with Cam Newton and Steve Smith. The defense has gotten better. They're trying to find a number two receiver down there, but I honestly think that's going to be an upset. Atlanta, I'm telling you, because of the offensive weapons they have, Dallas' secondary is not going to be able to handle it.
Okay.
They're not going to be able to handle it. It's going to be a shootout.
Just as long as you keep a running total of what we're saying here. About what we're predicting in these teams, but I think there's no way that Dallas is under 500. I think they're over 500 in wins. There's no way from what I'm seeing here.
They're under 500.
No way.
Okay.
I understand.
Just like you said that Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks wouldn't, you know, get more than four or five wins and. It is. I was supposedly smoking something then, too.
No problem. We're talking about two different animals here, two different divisions,
You're right. And that proves, and that makes it even worse because of the division they're in. Because of the division they're in. That makes it worse. And the fact that Jerry Jones put so much pressure on him saying that the window is closing. I'm telling you, the Cowboys are going to be the biggest disappointment this year. You already said last week that the Colts and the Jaguars are going to have the worst records in the NFL. I think they're going to be followed very closely by the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. Let's move on.
Okay. All right.
I know you're hating because you're not a Cowboys lover or a hater or whatever. I mean, well, you are a hater because you don't like it. But, I consider the source, so, but that's okay.
Are you serious? I said this was an unbiased view of I have
okay.
two upsets in there.
No right,
now,
problem.
Look, now, I guess what the last coach meant to say, and I probably read it wrong, was that Martellus Bennett was replaced by that other guy.
Okay.
Not saying that Martellus Bennett was on the team because
okay.
I'm looking at the New York Giants right now and they haven't
mm-hmm.
listed.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to New York Giants,
mm-hmm.
An area that you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Enemy lines. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a scenario in which Eli Manning's production drops at all. After 5 years in the same offense with the same coordinator, he has become so knowledgeable about the scheme. He knows where he's going with the ball once it's snapped. In this offense, which is almost like the run and shoot, the slot receiver has to make a ton of plays, which is why I think Victor Cruz will again have better numbers than Hakeem Nicks. Cruz is a great receiver inside and a strong runner after the catch. But Nicks will be the main red zone target because the Giants love to throw the ball to the outside and toward the pylon. Either Ramesses Bart, who the Giants were looking to use last year, or Dominique Hickson will benefit from Mario Monahan's moving on. Rookie Ruben Randall probably won't get much playing time with so many veteran receivers, though I wouldn't be surprised if they played more four wide sets this season. Martellus Bennett has size and speed and is a prototypical Giants tight end, but he is not a natural pass catcher, and he has maturity issues. His ticket may be as a blocker. Travis Beckham is the better receiver. Ahmad Bradshaw is not built to be a workhorse back. He'll get about the same number of carries, 171, that he did last year. That's why I think one of the backups will have an impact, either Darrell Scott or rookie David Wilson. Wilson is pretty dang good. All right, here we go. Sleepers. David Wilson is the sleeper, and, of course, the former Dallas Cowboy, Martellus Bennett, is listed as the bust. And, yes, Black, Ramesses Barton is 6'7", a sleeper, because Ramesses Barton hasn't done anything. So even though he's 6'7", he has to stay healthy and be on the field, responding to what Black put in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmad Bradshaw has a fragile frame and will not be able to pick up 150-plus carries Brandon Jacobs left behind. That leaves an opening for Wilson, an explosive north-south runner who will be the perfect complement to Bradshaw. All right, bust, Martellus Bennett. Someone in your league is going to draft this ex-Cowboy early, thinking he's the next Jeremy Shockey or Kevin Boss. He's not. At 6'6", 270 pounds, he has not caught a touchdown pass since his rookie season in 2008. All right. The New York Football Giants, Frank Gifford's team. Here we go. Well, first of all, tell me what you think about the breakdown, Jerry, by the coach.
I don't expect big things, and I think they're going to use Martellus Bennett as a blocking tight end because he reported to the Giants overweight. So, and he does have maturity issues, and he hasn't fixed them ever since he came into the league. So, in my eyes, I don't even know why the Giants got him because I do believe he has very high bust potential. And
yeah.
Giants are an up and down team. We'll see what happens with this team, but I don't know what you predict the record's going to be, but I have a strong feeling that it's going to be closer to mine than yours. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, I don't think they're going to repeat as Super Bowl champions. They got hot at the right time, like they did the previous time they won the Super Bowl. But looking at the schedule, they have a tough road to hoe as well. This is going to be a very competitive division, and I think the Giants are going to be the second or third team coming out of the division. Just my thoughts. Here we go. Dallas, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Philly. Well, excuse me. Home for Dallas, home for Tampa, at Carolina, at Philly, Cleveland, at San Francisco, Washington, at Dallas, Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati, bye week, Green Bay, at Washington, New Orleans, at Atlanta, at Baltimore, and home for Philly. This is the NFL's toughest schedule. It was stated when the schedule came out that this is the first time in, I believe, league history that the NFL Super Bowl champions will have the toughest NFL schedule. And it is kind of tough, guy. I went first last time. I'm going to let you go first this time. And Black, I know you're in the chat room. I need you to post your prediction as well. Go ahead.
My opinion, and I don't think they're going to repeat. And I think they're going to be the third team in this division. I think the Dallas Cowboys, the Giants are an 8-8 team. I think they're, because of the schedule they have here, what I'm looking at, and when they play these teams, 8-8 is what I see. I'd be very surprised if they get in double digits. I see a 500 team here.
Mine isn't too far off from that. I've got 7-9. The reason why I say that is because they have a murderous row from November on. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Green Bay, Washington, New Orleans, Atlanta, Baltimore, Philly. All those teams except for two made the playoffs last year. And are strong teams. It wasn't a fluke that those teams got in the playoffs. Cincinnati bust their butt. I mean, they're going to have a hard road to go, but 7-9 is what I see. I don't know what Black thinks. He's in the chat room. I don't know if he's going to put something up there or not. But 7-9 is where I have the New York Giants. And if I say that's going to be a 2 or 3 team, it's not looking good for a lot of the NFC East. I don't think you're going to get but one team coming out the East this year. We're not thinking to have more than one team. Black has the Giants at 9-7. So we're all around the same area. He has them with a winning record. We don't. I actually have them with a losing record. You have them with a 500. But I think we're all on the same path here. They were 9-7 last year when all went to the Super Bowl. But I think that's because they got hot at the right time. I'm not sure if it'll be the same thing this year. I don't think it will be, though. Let's move on down I-95 and take a stop in the city of brotherly love, where the NFC East looks to crown another Eagle championship, I think. And y'all know I'm not a Cowboy fan, but we'll see. I mean, an Eagle fan, but we'll see. Enemy lines, I'm going to make a bold prediction. This team is going to explode offensively and win the NFC East. The weapons the Eagles have are unbelievable. The key for them will be to keep Michael Vick off the injured list. This offense can't afford to have him on the sideline for 4 weeks. He wasn't the same last year because of the shortened offseason, having disgruntled players, the high preseason expectations, and an offensive line that was not the greatest. If he stays healthy, he'll be unstoppable. Now that DeSean Jackson has the contract he wanted and is happy, he'll be the player that everybody knows he can be. He'll be the team's number one receiver over Jeremy Maclin. But if defenders start doubling Jackson, Maclin will hurt too. Jason Avant is a guy who will block and catch the checkdowns. That's it. Tight end Brent Celek had surgery in January for a torn labrum in his shoulder. But my son had the same surgery, and he was running in 5 months. So I know that Celek should be healthy for the start of the season. He was good at the end of last year, despite the injury. Andy Reid couldn't care less about running the ball. But LeSean McCoy will have similar or better numbers than last year's because he's a dual threat. He's basically a fifth receiver. You can't put a safety on him. You can't put a linebacker on him. He's going to get his touches. Sleeper, again, they picked the special teams and the defense. The bust, Jeremy Maclin. Regularly one of the best defenses and special teams, the Eagles regressed slightly last year, but the offseason additions of linebacker D'Amico Ryans, which I hate the fact they got him, and rookie lineman Fletcher Cox and Vinny Curry should help Philly flying high again. I mean, I hate the fact they got D'Amico Ryans. Man, I wish the Redskins would have got him to groom him to take the place of London Fletcher in a year or two, but they didn't. The bust, like I said, Jeremy Maclin, no Eagle fits the traditional bust mode, but Maclin averaged a career best 6.1 receiving yards a game last season, while DeSean Jackson was moping. Now, that beat Jax has got paid. Maclin's numbers figure to pay the price. Your thoughts, Mr. Taylor?
Excuse me. Guy Bolwith is uncles of Vinny Curry, who used to play for Marshall, and he was telling me about Vinny Curry, this kid, for the last two seasons, and Vinny Curry, D'Amico Ryans, and Mr. Fletcher, along with the rest of that defense, this team is. And the speed they have on offense, I like this team a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of fantasy goodness in this team, in my opinion, and a lot of real life football. These guys are going to, I think, have a good season. I think they're going to have. I think they're should be the top of the NFC East, in my opinion. I think the Cowboys are going to. Battle them for the best record. I see the Eagles as coming out on top. I really like the Eagles, and I think Michael Vick and company have something to prove, especially from what happened last season. And how they finished.
I'm going to tell you, Black fan, you're being ridiculous. He says, Mike Vick said they have a dynasty in the making. They are the cheesesteak champions of hype every season. 8-8 or 7-9. Injuries all over the place. Jerry is being ridiculous.
Oh. Okay. Black. I got nothing but love for you, brother, but okay. Okay.
I mean, now that sounds like some biased, opinionated stuff right there, but to go to it, I mean, the schedule isn't that bad, but it's not that good either.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think they're going to win a division, and I'm looking at maybe 11 to 12 games. Wins here. I'm going to start it off. Here we go. At Cleveland, Baltimore, at Arizona, New York, at Pittsburgh, Detroit, bye week, Atlanta, at New Orleans, Dallas, at Washington, Carolina, at Dallas, at Tampa, Cincinnati, Washington, and finishing up at the Giants. I don't see them losing a lot of these games. I'm be quite honest with you. I'm going to venture to say they might even sweep the NFC East. Well, no, I can't because they're supposed to split with the Giants. I think they'll go 7-1 or how many games you got? 2, 4, 6. They'll go 5-1 in the NFC East. I think they're going to sweep the Redskins and they're going to sweep the Cowboys, in my opinion, because they just have so much talent and experience. Putting things together. So I got them at 11 and 5, 12 and 4. What do you got them at?
10 and 6.
10 and 6?
I have them 10 and 6. And I do have them competing with the NFC East title with the Cowboys. So I don't know why Black is hating on me, but that's okay. I have no idea why. Why?
Well, he's shouting at me. He says, love you, fam. I'm biased opinion. And he's saying, what? To my prediction. And he's saying, you're being ridiculous. Sorry, Jerry.
Okay.
Hey, I love Black.
There's no way this team with all this talent and what they have to prove and the things that happened last year are going to happen again this year, that they're going to be on the downside of a record. They're going to be on a plus side. They're definitely going to be winning in double digits, in my opinion. I can't see him not doing that this year. You got too much talent. Too much talent and added too much talent. So
I'll say this, JT, that Nani Asamoah and those D-backs stepped up towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed that no matter what technique they're using on defensive line or whatever, they're that good. And they started hitting and they started making plays. Now you give them a whole offseason to get together and you add some very good pieces. D'Amico Ryans isn't a slouch.
You're exactly right.
Isn't a slouch. And you put him in the middle, he can stop the run and he can cover in the passing game. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. The running backs are pretty much taken care of. And you got that big front four with Cullen Jenkins. You add Fletcher Cox. You add all these other guys. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And he says, Black says, injuries, they play fast collisions. And, you know, he's right. But they're no joke. They are no joke. All right, guys. We're about to end the NFC East with my team, Washington Redskins. 30 minutes left to fly there. Shut up. Shut up. I know you got them at the bottom of the barrel. I don't care. Dad, Black put it up before you read anything, 2-14. You know what, Black? That is hate.
That is hate.
Jesus. We're going to do book. Okay. You know what, Black? Man, anyway. Enemy lines, what a rival coach says. It's always hard for a quarterback to have a significant impact as a rookie, but it's going to be especially difficult for Robert Griffin III because of what Coach Mike Shanahan asks his quarterbacks to do in this West Coast offense. There are a lot of reads the quarterback has to make. If the Redskins don't have a successful ground game, RG3 is going to be running for his life. Roy Helu is not a bad runner, and his pass-catching ability will be key because RG3 will have to get rid of the ball quickly. Tim Hightower was coming on just as he got hurt last year. The team re-signed him, so I guess the front office likes him more than I do. This will be a backfield by committee. I think Evan Worster is just ordinary, but even ordinary backs can do well in Shanahan's system. Injuries have kept Chris Cooley from staying on the field, allowing Fred Davis to stab himself as tight end. He's athletic, but lack of receiving weapons helped Davis have the big year that he had last season. If RG3 has any chance of being successful this year, Davis will have to be key. I bet he gets 50 balls again. Since Hannah Moss is getting up there in age 33, but he can still be productive as a downfield threat. I'm overwhelmed by the free agent addition of Pierre Garçon and Josh Morgan. Garçon has a chance of contributing, but Morgan wasn't a top-flight receiver in San Francisco. I don't think he's going to help at all. Sleeper, Fred Davis. His numbers from 2011 look even better when you consider that he missed 4 games due to a suspension for drug use. Stats for 12 should improve with Davis serving as a security blanket for quarterback Robert Griffin III. Bust Neil Rakers. Now, Neil Rakers is a very good kicker. Very good kicker, in my opinion. I don't think he'll be a bust, but I think he's better with indoors than he is outdoor, in my opinion. He was a top 6 kicker last year in Houston. This year playing a much less potent offense and in a much less kicker-friendly climate, Rakers' right leg doesn't figure to get as much work. Jerks. Now, Black say 1-15, Griffin out fourth the season.
Oh, God.
For the season, out for the season.
You know,
you're such a jerk.
Fred
Davis is the offensive MVP.
You got to be.
You guys
I'm biased here, you know? Got to be unbiased, Black. You can't show your cowboy colors all the time.
Well,
jeez.
He's not. He's showing a little yellow down at the middle of his back. You know,
oh my! Oh man! You have to go there.
He says
oh,
that
boy.
This is unbiased opinion, though. I mean, 2-4. Now listen, 2-4. I can see where he could think that, but it's just not going to happen. It's not because I see a couple games in here. They're not gimme games, but RG3 will shine in some of these games. So what do you think about the breakdown, Jerry, before I get to the schedule?
Well, I mean, they had a top 10 defense last year. And the issue was, for the most part, on the offense. and specifically for the quarterback. So they addressed that, or they drafted number two, RG3, who I would guess better fits what the Shanahans want to do on offense with their quarterback. This guy's got a gun for an arm. He's no dummy, and very humble, willing to learn, and it's going to be versatile, a.k.a. Cam Newton or Mike Vick type of quarterback, I think, but I think more in the pocket and running as a last resort. I like this kid a lot. I think he's going to excel. I think the team is going to struggle because of the division they're in and their talent level, especially in the wide receivers. Until these guys gel together, probably for a season or two, they're going to struggle on the offensive side, and that's what's going to hold them back.
Okay. All right. Black says the real record is 6-10, and I don't think he's too far off, but I think it's going to be better than that. So let's just go down the schedule and and kick it off. At New Orleans, at St. Louis, Cincinnati, at Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Minnesota, at the Giants, at Pittsburgh, Carolina. Then this helps out Robert Griffin III having a bye week this late in the season. Coming back off the bye week is kind of rough. Philly, at Dallas for Thanksgiving. Giants, Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Philly, and ending with Dallas. Now I'm going to go down my wins, okay? Just count my wins for them because I'm not counting them out loud. And I really think this is going to happen. They beat New Orleans. They beat St. Louis. And they beat Cincinnati. Then they turn around and lose at Tampa, lose at Atlanta. They lose the home game against Atlanta. They beat Minnesota. They beat the Giants. They lose in Pittsburgh. They beat Carolina. They lose to Philly. They lose to Dallas. They did I say they beat New York the first time?
Yeah.
Okay, so they lose to New York. They lose to Baltimore. They beat Cleveland. They lose to Philly. And they end with a win against Dallas. How many games?
Eight and eight.
Yeah. I figure 8-8 because I really think he's going to have his breakout game is going to happen, RG3 that is, against Minnesota. If you recall, that was the game that put Michael Vick on the map when he just shredded their defense running and passing. I honestly think that it's going to be the same situation for RG3. He's going to do well versus these other teams prior. He's going to do well. I think because of all the issues New Orleans is having, they're going to just beat New Orleans that first game. Because just of the issues. They're going to go to St. Louis, and on that turf, RG3 is going to go crazy along with the receivers. I think they'll beat Cincinnati because it's a home game, and I believe Cincinnati has their first two games are really tough. But I think they go down to Tampa Bay and lay an egg. And I think they lose to Atlanta because I think Atlanta is just that good this year. But, I mean, that's just me. I feel they're going to be 8-8. And yes, Black, stop calling me crazy. They're going to beat New Orleans. But what do you got, Jerry?
You are...
I am what? I am what?
You got to be smoking something over there.
What?
8-8? You actually think these Redskins are going to be 8-8. If they win five games, I see them win it being 5-11. No way.
What?
No way. Absolutely, absolutely no way. They open a season at New Orleans and beat New Orleans in New Orleans. That ain't going to happen. You can forget that. That's pie in the sky right there.
Dude.
Pie in the sky. Ain't happening. They're going to struggle to beat the second road game at St. Louis. They're going to struggle to win that game, but they're going to win that game. Cincinnati, they're going to lose that. At Tampa, they're going to lose that. At Atlanta, they're going to lose that. Beat Minnesota, At New York, they're going to lose that. At Pittsburgh, they're going to lose that. I give them a win at Carolina, and I'm being generous with that one. Then they're going to go on a nice losing streak here. They're going to lose against Philly. They're going to lose at Dallas. They're going to lose against the Giants. They're going to lose against Baltimore. Then they're going to break it up with a win at Cleveland. Then they're going to lose it at Philly and close it out with a win against Dallas. That gives them five wins, 11 losses. No better.
Dude, are you serious? I mean, we agree on
That's
the bottom
serious.
Half. We agree somewhat on the bottom. I believe they're going to beat New York, though. I think they're going to – in December, they've got five games. One, two, three. They go 3-5 – I mean, 3-2 in December. I mean, you're smoking that good ganja.
Okay, 5-11. 5-11.
5-11. Are you serious? Okay.
5-11.
Like Black said, do I smell a bet? That's all I'm saying.
You have not wanted to wager with me because of fear of losing again,
Jerry,
and you don't want to hear my mouth.
Jerry,
you don't want to hear my mouth again.
Jerry,
yes.
here's the bet to you.
Mm-hmm.
$200, Redskins are better than 5-11. $200, right here, right now.
$250 that they're better than 6-10.
No.
That's the bet. 6-10. 6-10.
No. I said that they're going to be better than 5 wins. I'm not putting on 6-10, you know, 250. I mean, it's pretty much the same bet, but
no. No, it's not. It's not the same bet.
Okay, what? Talk to me.
It's not the same bet. Because it's 6-10 and 5-11 are two different bets. 6-10 is 6-10. 5-11 is 5-11. If you want to wager me, then it's going to be 6-10, not 5-11.
So the question is, will they be better? Will they have 6 wins or more this year?
No. Will they win more than 6 wins? Will they have
No. I didn't say more than 6 wins. I'm saying, you're saying you want them to have more than 6 wins. I'm saying they'll have at least 6 wins. I'm not going to bet you that they're going to be over 6.
Well, there's no bet then. 6-10.
11.
So,
are you giving them a 6-10 record? You just gave them a 5-10 record. I mean, 5-11 record.
5-11. But that's just for this observation purposes. But if we're going to put money on it, I'm going to add one more game.
No. See, dude, I'm going off of what your prediction is. Your prediction is the Redskins will be 5-11 or worse. That's what you're saying. I'm saying they're going to be they're going to have more than 5 wins, but 5 wins or better is what they're going to be.
No. Let me put it this way. 5 wins is a push. Any more than that is a win. 5 wins is a push.
Five wins is a push. Okay. Any more than 5 is a win for me. That's basically what you just said.
5 wins is a push.
Five wins is a push. 5 wins is a push.
150. 5 wins is a push.
Okay, so you're going to give me 150 if it's a push, but 250
No. The bet is 150.
No. You said 250.
No.
250.
Hey, at 6-10.
Dude, are you serious?
250 at 6-10. They want to go to 5-11, then it's 150.
Look at this dude, man. Look at this dude. You are pathetic. Hold on, let me go back down here. Let me go. 1, 2, 3.
5-11 is a push.
Five,
if we go to 250, 6-10 is a push. So they have to win more than 6 games for you to
no,
win.
No.
Absolutely.
Dude, how are you going to do? See, you're wasting time right now because we're supposed to be going to another division.
5-10, 5-11. If 5-11 is a push, if we bet at 5-11, the five is a push. Anything less than that, I win. Anything more than that, you win. 6 and 10, we up the bet, but 6 is a push. Anything less than that, you lose, I win. Anything more than that,
Jerry,
I lose.
We don't have to make this complicated. You gave
it's not complicated. That's simple.
Because you're putting all these extras on it. If the Redskins win more than 5 games, the bet is 250. If they win any more than 5 games.
No.
Because you're saying that they're going to have a 5-11 record. If you're saying they're going to have a 5-11 record, then it shouldn't matter if it's a push or not.
Sure it does.
If it's 5,
absolutely.
If it's 5
absolutely.
Wins,
absolutely.
Okay, if it's
5
wins, it's a push. If it's a 5 wins, it's a push. I got you. 5
mm-hmm.
wins is a push. I got
mm-hmm.
you.
But mm-hmm.
I'm saying they're going to win more than 5 games. So 6 games should not be a upper or a downer for the dollar amount.
Well, sure
you're
it
saying
is.
5
sure
and 11.
It may not be, but that's my stipulation. If you would like to wager with me on the amount of wins and losses your team gets, 5-11 at 150 bucks with a 5 being the push, 6 and 10, 250 bucks with the 6 being the push.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, hey.
Because you're not even showing confidence in your 5-11 prediction if you're putting all these stipulations on.
What?
Putting all these stipulations on for if this, that, and the third. No, you said they were not going to win more than 5 games. I said they were going to win more than 5 games.
Okay.
It should be a plain and simple bet.
It is plain and simple.
Oh,
it's plain and simple. It's 150 at 5 and 11.
Oh,
and two. And I raise it up 100 if it goes up another game.
That's not a simple. That's stipulation. That's like a contract in the NFL. Let's move on. We'll talk about this.
Okay, we got plenty of time. Got plenty of time, my man. Plenty of time. I know how you lay your. I've been caught up enough in the way you lay your bets, your stipulations out. So you're not going to get me this time.
Oh my god.
You're not going to get me
gosh.
This time.
I said, okay, 5 is a push. Anything over 5, I win. Anything under 5, you win. I mean, that's very simple. I mean, not all this extra crap. All right, let's move on to Chicago Bears.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Old guy. All right, enemy lines. You won't find an offense that improved as much in the offseason as Chicago's. And it wasn't just because of the players the team added. It was also because the addition of quarterbacks coach Jeremy Bates. He worked magic with Jay Cutler in Denver, and Cutler will take a big step forward now that he's reunited with Bates. People have been hard on Cutler, and he deserved a lot of the criticism. But ask yourself, whom did he have to throw the ball to? Roy Williams? Devin Hester? Now we'll have Brandon Marshall again, and Marshall alone will make a world of difference for Cutler. Hester is a return guy only, not a receiver, but as long as the Bears want to continue with the experiment, that's fine with us. Earl Bennett will benefit from finally having a true number one receiver on the opposite side. But has he? But he has to beat out rookie Alshon Jeffrey, and this is a competition to watch. Jeffrey has all-world talent. He's big and fast, but he let his weight get away from him last year. If he's not serious about being a pro, Bennett will beat him out. Tight end Kellen Davis is not a receiving threat. If Cutler throws to Davis, we're doing our job as a defense. I'm not worried about Matt Forte being affected by his contract situation this offseason. He's a pro who runs hard all the time. He'll be good to go from week one. Michael Bush was a great pickup. He'll be used a lot and lighten the workload on Forte. Sleeper Jay Cutler. Bust Matt Forte. He's the number one sleeper in 2012 for many reasons. The arrival of two big play receivers, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, and the reunion with quarterbacks coach Jeremy Bates. Cutler will be a solid quarterback number one and a quarterback number two at a quarterback number two price. The back should still be in line for Matt Forte, that is. The back should still be in line for a good year, but he is coming off a knee tweak. And Michael Bush is the best backup Forte has had. And forgive us, if the contract dispute brings back memories of Chris Johnson circa 2011. Circa 2011, sounding like a circus. All right, real quick, because we're running up on the clock here. Break down what you feel about the Bears and the thought process of the opposing coach.
Well, I don't think Jay Cutler's a sleeper for one. I think he's going to have a very strong season for another, and I definitely don't think, and you'll listen tomorrow, that Matt Forte is going to be a bust. This team is going to be a thorn in the side of the top two teams of last year, the Lions and the Packers. They have a stellar defense, and they have improved on their offense. So watch out for the Bears.
All right. Let's go down the schedule real quick. Indianapolis at Green Bay, St. Louis at Dallas, at Jacksonville. That's a bye week. Detroit, Carolina at Tennessee, Houston at San Fran, Minnesota, Seattle at Minnesota, Green Bay at Arizona, at Detroit. This isn't a bad schedule. This isn't a bad schedule at all, actually. They'll be contending in the North, but I don't think they're going to win it. I see them maybe at 10-6 and getting in the playoffs and causing some trouble, but I don't see them winning the division. What are your thoughts?
I see them a strong contender in this division, a very strong contender. Like I said, they've improved themselves on the offensive side, and I think so-called experts may be surprised on what Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall do. I remember what they did when they were in Denver. So I see them repeating that in Chicago. Just gives it more of a comfort level for Jay Cutler. I don't know if you want me to give him a record now, but they're going to be definitely good, strong contenders. I see him 11-5. Absolutely,
I mean,
11-5.
That's
right. That's solid to me.
I agree. I mean, I think that it's about that area. Black, if you can type in your record, that would be great, too.
And tell Black that Bryce Harper removed himself from the game due to an ankle injury.
He hears you. And stop talking about our Nationals. Go ahead. Man, y'all still 3 games back. Shut up. Anyway, let's move to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
The trouble city, actually. And Black gives them 9-7, which isn't far off because we're all in the same ballpark.
Wow.
But I think they're going to have a 10-6, a double-digit win season, I think. Enemy Lions, his offense was waiting to explode, and it finally did last season. All the Lions needed was for Matthew Stafford to stay healthy, and once he did, they really took off. This is going to sound crazy, but assuming he avoids injury again, this offense is only going to get better. Stafford makes this unit go. He's a much more polished quarterback than was just a couple of years ago. The best thing that happened to him this offseason was the team's drafting tackle, Riley Reiff, which will help solidify the pass protection. Of course, it helps to have the best receiver in the universe, Calvin Johnson. It doesn't matter how well you cover or double-team him, he will simply out-jump defenders for the ball. I'm having nightmares just thinking about him. Titus Young has a lot of improvement to make, but the speed is there. I bet the coaches use him much more this season. Veteran Nate Burleson is underrated. He does the dirty work underneath, but with Young catching more balls, I doubt that Burleson has the same year he did last season. Tight end Brandon Pettigrew is getting better and better. If you undercommit to Johnson's side, if you overcommit to Johnson's side, Pettigrew will hurt you, especially in the red zone because of his size. This offense only runs the ball to keep defenses honest. HC Jarvis best have to deal with concussions because he's a dangerous playmaker when he is in there. Good God. Sleeper Brandon Pettigrew, bust Jarvis best. 6'5", 265 pound beast on the left tight end has a better chance to make the jump to the elite level than Pettigrew. He's already a red zone mismatch and should be more targets because he's had to focus on Calvin Johnson. Job at best, his ability to make plays is not the question. His ability to stay healthy and in the lineup is. Best history of concussions means that every hit is a potential season ender. That's not a risk worth taking for a number two running back. He's a number three at best. Thoughts, Jerry?
Well, this team is probably going to be the status quo. They were 10-6 last year, and I think they're going to be 10-6 again. Jim Schwartz had a way of getting these guys focused. I think these guys need a structure in a training camp. They're a very young team, job at best, and that running game. I'll go into more depth in tomorrow, but in this division, there are some surprises or sleepers that I'm going to be bringing out. So listen intently tomorrow if you want to know what I'm talking about.
Well, LeSean McCoy, he has to serve a 3 or 4 game suspension. So, but he's the better back, in my opinion, up there. And I know you want to listen to the match plan, so I'm going to keep going on and on about it. But since we're on the topic, we're about to get ready to close live air. We have 4 minutes left of live air, so I'm going to promote every show we have, and then we're going to end in overtime, probably 15 minutes in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
This is Fantasy Sports and Politics. Every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we come live and correct. Next week, I will not be on the show. Jerry will be breaking down the last two divisions of the NFC, the South and the West. Hopefully, Black or my cousin or somebody will come on and help him out, as I will be en route to the East Coast. So we will see what happens then. Then on this upcoming Sunday, Jerry on the Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, will carry the load with his running back segment. He touched on 6 of them last week. This week, he's going to try to knock out a lot more. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. Again, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, The Master Plan, hosted by yours truly, 8 p.m., Jerry Taylor, the one who's scared to bet me. Then on Tuesdays, we normally have Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. Again, Kim is on sabbatical for the rest of the month. She is scheduled to return in the beginning of August. But her show covers women and young men and women and just the compassionate side of life. How can we make life better for everyone, not just yourself? Then on Thursdays, FSP Cruise Show, hosted by JT, Jeff, as well as Black the Bookie. They always have something interesting to talk about. There's always something going on in the world of sports, and they bring it up. I'm not sure what they're going to talk about this week, but I'm quite sure Black has something in mind, and he'll bring it up to Jerry. Then on Friday, you have No Chaser, Matt Williams, and Jerry Taylor. Jerry's a busy man for this network, just in case I didn't know. He and Black are really the linchpins to this whole thing, and I would be nothing without them. Honestly, I would be nothing without them. So I really am grateful to them. But on the master, not the master plan, No Chaser, we're not sure what's going to go on this week. Maybe Matt will come back and do part 3 of President Obama and Mitt Romney. We'll see, because we didn't have him on last time. But he said I talked to him yesterday, and he wants to get his views aired. So we'll see what he does next week on No Chaser. But we're about to head into overtime, and I want to thank everybody for listening to us. You can check us out in the archives if you missed anything here. And we're hopefully going to be featured on iTunes. I just submitted a request for iTunes to pick up this program and start featuring us. And with any help and any luck and God's grace, thanks to Jerry and Black and everybody that helps us out here, we will be featured on iTunes. So I need a new top-of-the-line graphic, Black. Let's get her done, baby, with all of our pictures or something on there. I need that ASAP. But you check us out on there. And do the RSS feed so you'll know what our shows are about. You know, we do what we do because we do it for you, and only because we can, and only for you. We're here on Blog Talk Radio, Fantasy Sports and Politics. That's what we do, all right? Let's break down the Detroit Lions and their schedule. home, St. Louis, at San Francisco, at Tennessee, Minnesota, bye week, at Philly, at Chicago, Seattle, at Jacksonville, at Minnesota, Green Bay, Houston, Indianapolis, at Green Bay, at Arizona, Atlanta, Chicago. Not the worst schedule, but I'm not going to give them a very good record. Black is no longer in the chat room. Those chat rooms, so I think, I know we have him on the line. He's listening. He's in a area, so it's just going to be your and my predictions, Jerry. I'm going to predict a 9-7 record for, or 8-8 record for the Detroit Lions this year.
I'm not too far from that. I like 10-6.
Yeah, the reason why I say it is because they have too many issues going on. The running back situation is up in the air, at least until week 4 of the season. I think they regress a little bit. Calvin Johnson still gets his numbers, and Stafford does well, but I just don't think the Lions are ready to make that step and become one of the elite teams and defeat the likes of San Fran and Philly and Chicago. Well, they play Chicago and Green Bay more than one time. I just don't see it happening. So I think they're going to go 3-3 in their division. And it's just not going to be a good road for them to hoe, in my opinion. So, you said you have an 8-8?
No, I have them at 10-6.
10-6?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I don't think they're going to get that. I really don't. But I think, well, we're almost done with the division now. It'll hash out what it is. But I think next thing we're going to talk about is going to be the division winner again. Followed very, very closely by the Chicago Bears. I'm talking about the Green Bay Packers here. This offense is so good, I get the sense that Aaron Rodgers says to himself, I want to get this guy a touchdown, and gets the guy a touchdown. I mean, how else do you explain B.J. Raji and Tom Crabtree scoring touchdowns? What happened to the Packers and Rodgers in the playoffs is that they had gone 3 weeks since the last real game or out of rhythm. His offense is dependent on being in rhythm. Rodgers will have another fantastic season, but one as good as last year, that would be hard for anyone to match. He only threw 6 interceptions. Jordy Nelson had the more productive 2011 season, but Greg Jennings is still the receiver who concerns us the most. Nelson's numbers were partly the result of defenses being concerned with Jennings. Both will put up great stats again this year. James Jones just won't go away. The team was ready to move on without him last year, but he resigned and ended up being a contributor. I think this is the year, though, that he finally takes a step back. Randall Cobb is ready to overtake Jones. Cobb's playmaking ability is so much better. Donald Driver can dance, but his days as a productive receiver are over. JerMichael Finley, who was caught in Jerry's mystery machine, is an enigma to me. He's not as productive as his athletic ability suggests he should be. But a QB like Rodgers, why even try to run the ball? If the Packers had someone better than James Starks, maybe they would. I'm not a fan. Wow. Strong words from an opposing coach. Sleeper, Alex Green. Randall Cobb is also a sleeper material, but Green is further under the radar since he's coming off of a torn left ACL. Starter James Starks didn't fire as expected last year, so there's an opening to be the team's clock-eating, TV-vulturing back. Bust, JerMichael Finley. It's hard to peg any Packers pass catcher as a true bust, but the expectations for his talented tight end have always been high, and he has yet to deliver. Another bad sign, the team re-signed him, but only for 2 years. He was stuck in Jerry's mystery machine and thus had issues. JT Money, talk to me.
This team is going to be just the same consistent team it's been for the last few years. I see this team and Mike McCarthy doing something that they haven't done before. I'll expound on it a little bit more tomorrow, along with my assessment of all the running backs. But this team should be the leader of the pack in this division.
All right. Let's go with the record. San Fran, Chicago, at Seattle, New Orleans, at Indianapolis, at Houston, at St. Louis, Jacksonville, Arizona, they have a bye week, at Detroit, at the Giants, and they finish out Minnesota, Detroit, at Chicago, Tennessee, at Minnesota. Okay. I'll let you go first. I got a record, but it might not be what you have.
I got them
11-5.
I have them at 12-4. I think they're just going to be a game better than Chicago, and a couple games better than the Lions in this division. So.
Okay, I can see that too. I got them at 11-5, having a couple of upsets happening, but I think the shootout they're going to have by mid-season, the New Orleans Saints will be back to normal. I give them to mid-season. And then that's going to be a shootout again like it was last year. And I expect Breeze and company to beat them.
I tell you what, from what I'm looking at here, I tell you what, the teams that they play, you people, if you have a chance to get a Green Bay Packer, a New Orleans Saint, a Houston Texan, or Detroit Lion, grab them, because when they play each other, because they play New Orleans, they play Houston, and they play the Detroit Lions twice, it's going to be fireworks.
Yeah. Points galore. Points galore.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you on that. 110%. Let's move on to the last team in the NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
And Minnesota Vikings. They have problems. Do they have problems? Anyway, Lions, this is a team in a bit of a transition offensively. Just a couple years ago, the Vikings used to be about Adrian Peterson running the ball and then throwing it downfield. But now he's hurt, and the young guy, Christian Ponder, is at quarterback. So I'm not sure what direction this offense will go this season. I have a lot of respect for Peterson, but people are kidding themselves if they think that just 8 months after that knee injury, he can be anywhere close to the player he was. I don't doubt that he'll try to play. That's how he is. But he won't be his normal self until next year at the earliest. Toby Gerhardt is no Peterson, but he can play a little. Though he doesn't have much wiggle, he's tough. He's a tough runner. I wouldn't be surprised if he had more carries than Peterson at season's end. I'm not sold on Ponder being a franchise quarterback. He's a smart kid, but he has a long way to go. Christian Harvin is the best playmaker the Vikings have. He can do it all. Catch the ball, run the ball. If he can stay on the field, I don't see why his numbers would go down. The team added Jerome Simpson to be the number two receiver, and he's an upgrade over Michael Jenkins, who I can't believe is still in the league. Wow. Kyle Rudolph will be a highly productive pass-catching tight end maybe as soon as this year. So I was shocked when the team added John Carlson. Maybe the Vikings want to be Patriots of the NFC. Man, this coach is—he's just talking. All right, sleeper, Kyle Rudolph, bust, Adrian Peterson. No need to go into that. Because somebody's going to pick Adrian in the second round or the bottom part of the first round.
You think so, huh?
I think so, and it's going to be a disappointment.
I think so too.
Yeah, buddy. There's not much to say about this team. But do you have something briefly you want to say?
Issues. They got issues. That's all I got to say. They have a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm. A lot of issues. But a stadium is one of them because they got that. Let's go with the record real quick. Jacksonville at Indianapolis, San Fran at Detroit, Tennessee at Washington, Arizona, Tampa Bay at Seattle, Detroit. Then they get a bye week. At Chicago, at Green Bay, Chicago, at St. Louis, at Houston, Green Bay. They have a terrible, terrible schedule after the bye week.
Yep.
After the bye week, they're going to lose every game.
Yep. At Chicago, Green Bay, Chicago, at St. Louis, at Houston, Green Bay. Where is it?
Every game after the bye week.
Wow. Yep. Their best chance of winning, first two games of the season.
I agree. And maybe at Seattle, if they don't have their quarterback situation taken care of. What do you have them at?
2-14. 2-14. It's at Seattle. That's the worst thing. It's at Seattle. So Seattle plays best at home. So
I'll give them 3, beating Jacksonville, since I think MJD is going to sit out the whole year, or at least to week 10. So I got them winning that, and then beating Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. Then they go on a terrible losing streak until they face Seattle. And I got them beating Seattle just because I think they're going to step up, even though it is at Seattle. So I got them at 3-13. But that's what I got. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Fantasy Sports Politics. I'm your host, Mr. FSP. That is going to wrap it up for us on the NFC East and North. Again, next week I will not be here, but JT ATM Taylor will be rocking the MIC, covering the last two divisions in the NFL.
Whoa. NFC South and NFC West.
NFC South and NFC West. He's got a lot to talk about. Hopefully, one of our other co-hosts will jump in and help him out. But if not, he can talk for an hour and a half because he's that good. And, again, tomorrow, Master Plan. 10 a.m., Jerry breaks down Fantasy for the Money Back.
Settle in because it's going to be at least an hour and a half.
There you go. And I will be away for 3 weeks. So when the NFL has this Hall of Fame game, I'm not sure whatever Jerry has planned for those 3 weeks, I'm quite sure it'll be outstanding. Maybe I'll get to chime in. I doubt it, but we'll see what happens.
So you're going to be going for 3 Saturdays. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep, I will not be back until the last Saturday of the month.
Okay.
Which is the of August, which is like the 25th, 26th, or something like that.
Okay.
So the show is yours. You can cancel it. You can play it. You can do whatever you need to do. But I will not be here until this time next month.
Okay. No problem.
I know you got it covered, big boy.
Got it, my man. Got it.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get out of here. I got to go see Dark Knight Rises and enjoy my Saturday since it's just starting. I know yours is winding down, old timer.
No, my starting. I got to go to a graduation party, believe it or not. My niece, who I'm very, extremely proud of, the first person in our family to go to a traditionally all-black college, going to Howard.
Cool.
Yeah, so.
Cool. Howard.
Yep.
Born and raised in D.C. Slam.
Mm-hmm.
You better put a bracelet on her. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
I used to live in the area where the school is.
Mm-hmm.
And if she looked good, she's going to be a screechy. A.K.A. And then it's going to be all over.
Movie star.
Oh, man. It's over. She's going to hit Georgetown, and it's all over, dude.
Yeah, she's a movie star. She's a movie star, man. I'm telling you. Yep.
All right, Uncle ATM. You got to save the money for her and not give it to me.
I may have to take a trip down there to try to straighten a Harvard or Georgetown guy out. Who knows?
Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do, Pimpalicious. Do what you got to do. All right. You know what I need you to do right about now.
All right, from Black, who's in the chat room, afraid to jump on, but that's okay, Black. We got nothing but love for you. And RG or Kermit, or whoever we want to call him, Victor Gardner, and also to yours truly, the ace of the show, happens to be JT.
You know what? I'm scratching this. Are you serious?
You have been listening to Enjoy Dark Knight.
Okay.
But you have been listening to
an old man jibber jabber about himself. But you've really been listening to this guy. Love you, Jerry. Love you, Black.
Take care.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.